Thank you. I have nothing of financial interest to disclose. My particular interest in and contribution to this panel stems from my role as faculty in the College of Nursing at the University of Illinois Chicago. As a public state-funded university and the largest educational institution in Chicago, we've seen increased diversity among our student body over the last 15 years since I've been on faculty. We currently have about 28,000 students enrolled across our 15 colleges. Our demographic breakdown is less than precise, recognizing only white, Asian Pacific Islander, Hispanic, Black, Native American, non-resident alien, and unknown. Nestled into those statistics, by informed but informal reports, are the 5 to 10% of our students who identify as being of Middle Eastern descent. The presence of our Palestinian students and sensitivity to the issues which impact them received heightened coverage over the past year as the controversy around the hiring and quick firing of Professor Stephen Salada unfolded in the press. When he spoke at our campus last month, the outpouring of support among students of Middle Eastern descent and their allies illustrated the extent to which the politics surrounding Palestine have become intertwined with the human rights issues which speak to our student body at large. These alliances are deep and transgressive in the best sense. When I teach our public health nursing courses, I emphasize the social justice ethic which roots our practice. I remind students that as American nurses, they are also part of the International Council of Nurses, and we subscribe to this global code of ethics and adhere to their position statements, among which is their position on the rights of migrants, refugees, and displaced persons. The ICN strongly condemns the frequent violation of migrant, refugees, and displaced persons' human rights and promotes strategies that promote social justice consistent with the UN Convention and the Declaration, Universal Declaration of Human Rights. Furthermore, the ICN strongly opposes armed conflict and believes that negotiation, mediation, and other peaceful conflict revolution and resolution and diplomatic solutions should be sought instead. ICN's particular concern focuses on the potential impact armed conflict has for affected civilians, refugees, and internally displaced persons and combatants, including direct and indirect impact on health and development and violation of human rights. In short, I tell my students, we do not have the luxury of indifference to what is happening elsewhere across our planet. In addition to our personal sense of morality, we are professionally mandated to care and to act. My own consciousness and sensitivity to the human rights issues in Palestine and its impact on our university community was significantly raised during the summer of 2014. A colleague within my own department is Palestinian, and his family remains within the occupied territories. Speaking with him during the escalation of violence that summer was a crash course in the human toll of the conflict. Months later, in the fall of 2014, I invited the same colleague to be part of a panel for our new undergraduate nursing students. It was still very early in the semester, and the panel was meant to demonstrate the many paths to and through the nursing profession. My colleague spoke to his refugee experience as part of his long journey from Gaza to Chicago. During the discussion that followed, a young woman sitting in the middle of the room addressed him directly. "First of all, I want to say salam alaikum," she said. And then she went on to ask some very pointed questions about responsibility to Palestine, to those who remained under siege. She explained that her father was also a Palestinian refugee and that his life had been a difficult one. "What then," she asked, "was my colleague's kinship to the land he had left?" So, in our small universe, there was something rather electrifying in this brief encounter. It wasn't confrontational, she was respectful and soft-spoken, but I'd never quite experienced anything like that in my 15 years of teaching at UIC. Her greeting to my colleague leveled the playing field, established their commonality, and refuted the need for any deference to role or circumscribed power. There were larger issues to address, and she went right for them. So that student is named Mira, and she became my guide as I strove to better understand the experience of our Palestinian students. She graciously shared with me her own history and reflections and assisted as I reached out to other students, as did my colleague in the College of Nursing. My goal was to better understand this experience of dual identity. Amira's guidance was enormously beneficial, and I had hoped that she could accompany me here today so there would be Palestinian representation, but she had a psych exam and her professor would not let her out of it. So much for the larger issues. So with their help, I interviewed 8 students. 7 were of Palestinian descent. One was Syrian, who actually was a friend of Amira's and who really felt such strong connection and kinship to the Palestinian students that he wanted his voice to be heard as well. 5 of these students were UIC students, and 3 of them were students at other private colleges and universities, including one who was at the School of the Art Institute. The themes which arose were the importance of increasing awareness over the plight of those in refugee camps, particularly issues that were related to health and nutrition. One of the students was very interested in oral health for children and adolescents, and many of them spoke to the need for breaking the cycle of hopelessness that they saw over and over again in the refugee camps. All of them spoke about the pervasive intimidation that they experienced at borders and checkpoints. Very strong was their desire to combat what they believed to be the media misconceptions and stereotypes which proliferate in our American, across our American media. The primacy of the personal experience and encounter was very important, and I was asked repeatedly when I planned to visit, which has made me start thinking about how I should answer that question. They were all very clear that the target of criticism was Zionism and not the Jewish people or their culture. There's a very strong identification with the children in pain that they encountered, both in the refugee camps and in the hospitals in which they volunteered. Very strong was their sense of familial connection and community loyalty, whether that was community here in the metropolitan Chicago area or overseas in the occupied territories. There was a very, very strong hope for the future, a belief that there is solidarity among diversity, the kind of diversity they experience within our university and in this larger metropolitan area. There was a strong connection with other groups who also were suffering under oppression. Specifically strong was the Black Lives Matter group. They also had great faith and belief in the potential of social media to help to get their true, as they said, the true narrative across. So a few just representative excerpts from the interviews. Many of the students had gone over to work with different nonprofit organizations in the area. And as I mentioned, in addition to working in the hospitals, they also spent time, many of them, in the refugee camps. And that's where this strong feeling about overcoming the cycle of helplessness arose. The one student said, the cycle, it impacts everything. Low income, bad nutrition, future health status. We have to work towards prevention. So once a refugee is not a refugee forever. The students who worked in hospitals and experienced the suffering of the children came back very, very strongly impacted by that. The one student mentioned getting to know a 14-year-old girl with a clubbed foot who was able to undergo rehabilitative surgery, and she cried because she would now be able to help her mother as she hadn't before. The student who was telling me this said that the quote from the student has really stayed with her, from the child has really stayed with her. She said she felt like the gates of heaven opened when she was told she would have surgery. The intimidation at the checkpoints came and the border came up over and over again, the violence that they had witnessed. And also one of the students mentioned what a difficult time she had because she was a student and how the guards were particularly nervous about having students and the kind of witness that they would bring forth. The notion of combating what they saw as the stereotypes that proliferate mainstream media came across over and over again. They talked about only watching Arabic TV because American media doesn't show the story as it really is. They were very sensitive to the whole notion of Islamic terrorists and what a misconception that was. Very, very proud of Mideastern culture in general, but particularly of the Palestinian culture, and very sorry that it wasn't better represented. You don't see the art, the stitching, the agriculture, the innovations, the language, the dancing, the familial connections. The cultural traditions are muted. Another way of saying it, it's misrepresentation by omission. The familial connections, while very strong, there was also a generational difference that came across. The students shared their parents' longing for return and longing for justice in the territories, but also had more hope. The transiency of identities came across, and especially for those who felt like they had a dual identity with one foot in the American culture and one foot in the Palestinian. Again, the notion of the parents' generations not being as optimistic, being more susceptible to conspiracy theories. While their focus was much more on strategic political networking, and almost all of the students that I interviewed were active with at least one Palestinian or nonprofit human rights group. Again, this in terms of hope, they really expressed seeing a change in the mindset of the culture, that the people of their generations understood much more easily the kind of oppression that the Palestinians were dealing with. And to conclude, after I had interviewed the students and I had their transcripts, I took them back to my colleague to see what he thought about how they represented their experiences. And he mentioned that he was heartened to see so many Palestinian students, as it wasn't a culture necessarily that had always supported their children going into nursing. He thought that the calmness of the narrative, which sort of pervaded what they told me, reflected their American upbringing, and that it was much different from what you would get from somebody who actually grew up in the occupied territories where intimidation was a fact of daily life. He also said that it can't be overstressed how dire the healthcare crisis really is. My own observations very quickly was there was a maturity, insight, and a sense of purpose of these students that's really uncommon to their age in my experience. The lack of vitriol, personal attack, or sense of vengeance really stood out. Their focus instead was strategic and political. They had a lot of nuanced insights and a comfort with ambiguity, which again, in my experience, is not common among a lot of students their age. And the sense of hope I had not quite expected. So because Amira could not be with me today, I will give her the last word. She said, "Students don't believe the stereotypes anymore. My white friends Snapchat me photos of Israeli couscous in which they've crossed out the Israeli and written in Palestinian. They send me photos of old maps which they find that identify Palestine. The one word to describe my trip to Gaza was isolating. We drove for hours to get to Jerusalem, and what I remember are soldiers with guns. I force myself to consciously remember the beauty. I want to go back, not because I miss it, but because I want to miss it." And some of the suggested resources that the students